This is VK6 Amateur Radio News with NewsWest for Sunday the 13th of November 2022. Today is the contesting edition and we look at contests coming up in the next few months. We again talk about the wish for collaboration between our two representative societies and what's getting in the way of it. There's a whole bunch of news from the Southern Electronics Group, Roy's Helpline and more on NewsWest, where the truth is important. NewsWest can be heard on air, online, on screen and on demand. Visit our website vk6.net to find out how. I'd love to put a certain myth to rest. You've heard it repeated dozens of times. The myth is that the Radio Amateur Society of Australia is anti-Wireless Institute of Australia. You may even have heard a rant on the national news a few weeks ago that, and I quote, "the war against the Wireless Institute of Australia continues." Last week, the WIA National News savagely edited the joint interview with the presidents of the WIA and RASA to change or even obscure the message of cooperation and collaboration. This was the result of a small group within the WIA who were more interested in settling personal scores and disrupting anything that RASA does instead of working for the benefit of amateur radio in general. In a rather robust discussion about it on the WA Hams email list, I gave several examples of how the war, if indeed one is being waged, is actually in the other direction, that is, by a dominant group within the Wireless Institute and a few supporters. I told readers about the many times that RASA has sought collaboration and cooperation with the Wireless Institute of Australia, only to be foiled by a board that is hostile to its president. You see, the Wireless Institute president cares about amateur radio and clearly sees that the future of the hobby lies in cooperation, not division. A noisy, dominant section of the board does not share that vision. Having given several examples of misbehaviour by those purporting to be defending the Wireless Institute against the evil RASA, the apologists then said, "Where's the evidence?" One of the big eye-openers for Western Australian amateurs recently was the joint presentation by the two presidents at Perth Tech. It was about common goals and the need for the two organisations to work together, especially when it comes to approaching the ACMA. These people had barely arrived home after Perth Tech when the backlash started. I'm told that Scott, the Wireless Institute president, received abusive phone calls and emails. Then came the butchered interview on the WIA's national news. You know, the news service that says it can be trusted? We found out what it can be trusted to do, didn't we? Having seen that one event, and we all saw it, or rather heard it, that interview, which was altered to change its meaning, should be all the evidence that you need to see that something is seriously rotten in the state of the Wireless Institute, and the only way to fix it is to field new candidates and elect a fresh board of directors. But it doesn't need to be left there. Have a read of the RASA's November QTC magazine. The evidence you ask for is there. Now, if you can't be bothered to see the evidence, you're not qualified to join in the discussion.
The FT Roundup contest is on December the 3rd and the 4th. Contacts can be made on either FT4 or FT8. The objective is for amateurs worldwide to contact and exchange QSO information with other amateurs using FT4 or FT8 on 80, 40, 20, 15 and the 10-metre bands. Any station may work any other station. Stations may be worked once per band regardless of mode, FT4 or FT8. There are some preparations with the WSJTX software that need to be made prior to the contest. You need to set the contest mode, install the operating frequencies, reset the Cabrillo log, make a copy of your existing WSJTX_log.adi file, if desired, and erase your current WSJT_log.adi file. After the contest, you'll need to prepare your Cabrillo log. This sounds like it will be a real busy contest because anyone who's used these modes will tell you that there are very few days when you can't make contacts. You need to look at the rules and the helpful tips and tricks on the contest website, otherwise you may not hear anyone or make mistakes that could cost you a place in the contest. One interesting aspect of this contest is the power levels. There are two power levels you can use, well, three really. QRP is 5 watts or less. Low power is 100 watts or less, and high power is 100 watts plus, and your log becomes a check log. Did you get that? High power station logs are check logs only. The rules and preparation tips are at the Ritty Contesting website, and believe it or not, the address is rittycontesting.com. That's rittycontesting.com. Oh, and one last bit. Certificates will be awarded to all participants and can be downloaded online when available. In addition, the top 10 single operators will be awarded a bottle of premium wine from Munn's Vineyard, mailed to a US address. If you think you'd be in there with a chance, would finding a United States address be in line? Good luck in the FT Roundup.
RASA announced during the week that the November edition of its QTC magazine is out now. This edition has some interesting articles from the field. Ian, VK3BUF, has penned an interesting and informative article on how to fix things. Chris, VK3QB, writes about his experiences with a HF vertical and radials, and we have reports from operators in the field, Luke, VK3HJ, on Norfolk Island, and Andrew, VK1DA, with the portable CW operations. There's the usual column from the QRM guru, and a few smaller news items. Perhaps more importantly, they take a look at the ACMA's recent consultation paper as it relates to the class license and higher power. Tied in with this is the unavoidable truth that the ACMA wants to see sector cooperation. We often hear people saying, "I don't want to get involved in the politics." Well, if you care about where the hobby is going and ACMA's plans for our future, you should read the articles regarding sector cooperation, the WIA's recent reaction to their president's efforts at collaboration, and some of the WIA who continue to believe that they are the only representative body. We need a better working environment between the WIA and RASA for the benefit of our hobby. Another innovative RASA first was announced. Free membership renewals, with a hope that donations will allow us to maintain this operating model in future years. So if you like what you see, and you can spare a few dollars, please make a donation. As always, your feedback is welcome. If you have any questions or comments, please email RASA. The address is info@vkradioamateurs.org. Again, info@vkradioamateurs.org.
If you've ever wondered what the bit of music is that we begin and end the show with, it's called the B Theme. It's from a bloke called David Feslian, and his website is Feslian Studios, and he grants royalty-free access to his music for non-commercial purposes, and that's us. Every now and again we see a little copyright notice pop up on our YouTube thing, but that's okay, we've got a notice on our stuff that says what I just said, and the copyright notice from YouTube says you don't need to do anything anyway, so there you go. The music is copyright to a bloke called Feslian, Feslian Studios. It's provided free and gratis, and for nothing, to non-commercial users. And this is VK6 Amateur Radio News, and you're listening to News West. After last year's successful running of the Australia Day contest, comments were in favour of making the contest a global event, and there was a strong indication for distance-based scoring and inclusion of FT8 and FT4. And that's what the contest committee come up with, and the contest manager is Alan VK4SN. And in case you've just arrived in the country, Australia Day is January the 26th. This contest is to encourage amateur radio promotional activity around the world and is designed to encourage friendly participation and to improve the operating skills of participants. It's held on the Australia Day public holiday on the 26th of January. The aim of the contest is for amateurs in VK to contact other amateurs around the world. Some VK operators will be using the AX prefix to celebrate Australia Day, as it's wanted by many amateurs around the world. The contest is the first Australian distance-based, scored, HF and digital contest. The contest is open to all amateurs worldwide on 160, 80, 40, 20, 15 and 10 metres. The scoring is based on distance calculated on a four-character grid squares exchange. Phone, CW and mixed categories with a separate digital category of FT8 and FT4. a log can contain all modes, and on submission, digital contacts will be pulled from the log and put into the digital category, while also keeping an operator in the phone and CW sections. WSJTX users can operate as normal, as the .adi file can be imported into N1MM Logger for scoring and log creation. Make sure a new .adi file is used for the contest. As no serial number is needed, the standard 4-character grid square used during normal operation is all that's required. Now this is important, VK Contest Logger won't cater for this contest, so make sure that you have N1MM Logger ready to go. The UDC, the User Defined Contest, which is a configuration file for N1MM, will be available from vk4sn.com under Contests. So that's vk4sn.com. That's Alan's website. It's evident that a lot of operators are migrating over to N1MM. For new users, an N1MM help file for this contest is available at the end of the rules. Download it from the WIA contest pages. Now the times are going to hit us a bit hard here in VK6 because it starts at 2200 UTC on the 25th. That's the day before Australia Day. What's that make for us? 6 a.m. and it runs through to 6 p.m. Western time. So thanks Alan, VK4SN, for the information, and Alan will provide more detailed information closer to the contest date. Now another contesting news, the ARRL 10 metre contest is on the second full weekend of December. That's about a month away. The objective of this contest is for amateurs worldwide to exchange QSO information with as many stations as possible using only the 10-metre band. With the reported excellent conditions on 10 metres lately, it might be a lively contest. The operating modes allowed are CW and single sideband. The contest starts at 0100 hours UTC Saturday and runs right through to 2359 UTC Sunday. And that's December the 10th and 11th. Logs are due within 7 days after the event finishes, and logs may be submitted either online or via mail. That's snail mail. Gosh, they still do paper logs. But electronic Cabrillo logs are the preferred method. The contest rules are available on the ARRL's contesting website.
The CQWW contest is the largest amateur radio competition in the world. Over 35,000 participants take to the airwaves on the last weekend of October, SSB, and November, CW, with the goal of making as many contacts with as many DXCC entities and CQ zones as possible. The CQWW-CW contest is on November the 26th to the 27th. This contest shares the same background story as the RITI and SSB contests. There may be slight variations on the rules, so you need to visit the website to check that out. Please submit your log using the Cabrillo Log upload page. You can access this from the CQWW website. This is a big international contest, and even if you don't participate, listen around because it's a good indicator of how radio conditions are going. The website is cqww.com. I say again, cqww.com.
As you may be aware, News West runs a contesting focus program every month promoting upcoming contests. We do this because contesting is part of amateur radio and it's a good place in which to develop your on-air skills. In order to provide you with stories to inform you of upcoming contests and maybe give some hints and tips, we look at contest websites to find information with which to build a story. Well, folks, I can assure you that the harvesting of information from websites is, mostly, darn hard work. I've seen technical manuals that are easier to read than some of these contesting websites. I can understand that the rules and important detail needs to be clearly laid out. Of course it does. There is, however, an aspect of any event organisation planning that is seriously neglected by most contest organisers. What's missing is promotion. Why do they not include material to help those, like our amateur radio news program, to promote their contest? Call it a press release or a model script for newsreaders to work on. But no, the vast majority of contest websites offer nothing of the sort. I've been guilty of deciding not to promote some of the minor contests merely because I look at the website and I say to myself, you know what, this is too hard. Move along, nothing to see here. I don't know how many contest managers listen to News West because our focus is, after all, on VK6. But if you're a contest manager and listening, please write yourself a note to remind yourself to add promotional material to your website. all amateur radio news producers will thank you, and more importantly for you, they'll publish it.
This update for the Southern Electronics Group comes from Rob, VK6LD. Some good news for those near Bunbury or passing through, there's a new SEG All-Star hotspot node operating on 439.225 MHz with a CTCSS tone of 123.0 Hz. The All-Star hotspot node has been made possible by site host Mulligan, VK6FWCJ, expert assembly and installation by Ron, VK6VOX, and built on the VK6LD workbench. The node's located quite close to central Bunbury. The antenna is a folded dipole. The equipment consists of a Tait 8200 transceiver with 10 watts power output through a Raspberry Pi 3B Plus computer and custom USB transceiver interface. Coverage around central Bunbury should be good and has also been heard 5 to 6 kilometres to the south on a handheld. All other signal reports are welcome. The node frequency again is 439.225 MHz simplex and requires a 123.0 Hz CTCSS tone to access. The node is connected to the All-Star VK6 Southwest Hub 24/7. SEG membership and donations and the generosity of SEG members makes these projects possible. SEG is always keen to expand All-Star coverage to other regional areas to keep country amateurs connected. So if you know of an area needing an All-Star node, have a site, hopefully with power and or internet, please get in contact with Rob, VK6LD. Thanks for the information, Rob.
Since 1931, amateur radio news has been broadcast in Western Australia. News West is brought to you by WA Amateur Radio News, on air, online and on demand. This is VK6ARN and I'm Mark, VK4MHQ.
There's another new All-Star node in Western Australia. The node is in Walcatcham in the northeastern wheat belt. The All-Star hotspot node was built on the VK6LD workbench and has been set up and installed by Jason, VK6JLH, who recently received his amateur radio license. The node operated under the call sign VK6JLH. The node is located to the north of the Walcatcham town site. The antenna is a folded dipole, and the equipment consists of a Tait 8200 transceiver with 10 watts power output. The node is driven by a Raspberry Pi computer. The All-Star node number is 58004. Node frequency is 439.150 MHz simplex and requires a 123 Hz CTCSS tone to access. The node is connected to the All-Star VK6 Southwest Hub 24/7. The Southern Electronics Group is always keen to help expand All-Star coverage to other regional areas to keep country amateurs connected. So if you know of an area needing an All-Star node, have a site, hopefully with power and or internet, please get in touch with Rob.
Report on the November WAG meeting. Lots of stuff was discussed. The meeting ran till 21:21 hours, despite having so many apologies for various reasons. Good to see those who turned up. There were almost as many Skype logins as bodies in the room. One of them, our chairman, in COVID isolation in Bunbury, but soldering on anyway. Thanks for the effort, Anthony. Next month's meeting, the December or Christmas meeting, will be held same bat time, same bat channel, but bring a plate to share a potluck supper. First Monday in December will be the 5th of the month, and doors open at 7 p.m. for a 7:30 p.m. start. It is currently the intention of WAG to restart the occasional lecture series in February next year. More details will be forthcoming in the new year, so watch this space. 7:30 from WAG, VK6RRG.
The Northern Corridor Radio Group's car boot sale is coming up soon on Sunday the 20th of November, and that's next weekend. The car boot sale is at the NCRG Club Rooms, that's out at Whiteman Park, from 9 a.m. for sellers and 10 a.m. for buyers. The charge will be $5 for sellers and buyers will be free. Mark from Tet Mtron said he'll be there. There'll be refreshments available and sausage sizzles to purchase on the day. And we're expecting the day to be hot, so please bring a hat. And if you're a seller, maybe some form of shade. And please note, this is important because there's been lots of complaints. There will be no sales before 10 a.m. Apparently the punishments will be cruel and unusual if you do. A couple of weeks ago, the Southern Electronics Group announced the Manjimup Ham Feast, which is on Monday the 21st of November. And guess what? That's just a week away. And for those who haven't been before, the Manjimup Ham Feast is a pub lunch for radio enthusiasts, and it's held at the friendly Quinanup Tavern, a small former mill town, approximately 30 kilometres south of Manjimup. The food's great, drinks are cold, and the company is excellent. And everyone's welcome, not just people holding an amateur radio licence. Partners, friends, bring them along. And the start time is 11 a.m. The Quinanup Tavern is located at 1222, that's 1222 Wheatley Coast Road, Quinanup, and can be accessed via South West Highway or the Muir Highway. And the legendary Ham Feast raffle will also be held on the day with some great prizes that you could win. For those coming from Albany, Mount Barker, Katanning, Perth, or most other places, Manjimup or Quinanup can be reached in 2 to 3 hours travel time. For those that wish to stay a bit longer, there's a caravan park at Quinanup, or accommodation can also be found in nearby Manjimup, Pemberton, and Northcliffe. It's preferred that you pre-order your meals to help the chef to have sufficient supplies on hand and to prepare and deliver the meals in a timely manner. So Rob did send out the Quinanup Tavern menu via email a couple of weeks ago, and it will also be on the Southern Electronic Group's website. And interestingly enough, Quinanup Tavern is on Facebook. Meals can be selected on the day, but there are no guarantees if not pre-ordered. So you need to email your meal choices to Rob so he can prepare a spreadsheet for the chef. And he needs that by 8 o'clock in the morning on Tuesday. That's Tuesday the 15th, a couple of days' time. Now, something else that's important is when you arrive on the ham feast day, go straight to the bar, let the bar staff know your call sign and your name, and they'll take payment for your meals. The chef's aiming to serve meals between 12 and 1, but with a huge crowd that we usually get at ham feast, that means one meal served and cooked, or cooked and served, every 90 seconds. So just be patient. So, big get-together at Quinanup. If you're looking for Quinanup on your GPS or on Facebook or anything like that, it's got a Q and a U and two I's and three N's up. Work it out. There you go. See you there.
If it's not amateur radio, it's not amateur radio news. News West is dedicated to amateur radio for amateur radio operators. This is VK6 ARN and I'm Mark, VK4 MHQ.
Now, in relation to all this stuff that's going on where one side says the other is committing war against the other, and I know that's rubbish, and if you really thought about it, you'd know that it was rubbish. But what I'm asking you to do, if you're at all concerned about whether the Wireless Institute is top of the wazza or whether RASA is top of the wazza or neither of them are, it doesn't matter. But if you're interested, if you're concerned about what's going on, make it your business to find out what's going on. Ask the questions. Listen to what's being told to you on news broadcasts and other places. I've been telling this stuff for years, and I can guarantee, I can assure you, that I will not publish anything on here that I do not believe is true. Okay? If I think it's a bit dicey, if I think it's not true, I won't publish it. My God, folks, there's been a load of stuff that I wouldn't put to air, but I put to air what I think you need to hear to make decisions about what you believe and what don't you believe. But please, don't just say, this is all nonsense, just because you haven't bothered to do your homework, guys. As they say, put in the work.
Good morning. Yes, it's me once again, Roy, VK6X-Ray Victor, with this week's helpline, the 13th of November, 2022. First off the rank today, we have an ICOM IC751 HF transceiver with the ASU Fox Papa 707 power supply. There's also an Oscar Block 200 and a Kaiorisu SWR meters. A couple of those SWR meters are available. And make an offer. Any price is better than nothing and or left to rot, says Ron. Contact Ron by email. His address is 123 Romeo Oscar November figure 4 at gmail.com. That's the only contact I have for him, and I hope it's correct. Doesn't seem a bit, seems a bit strange. 123RON4@gmail.com. And that comes from Ron XG4JJ Tango, and VK2CDR and VK6November Mike. So give him a call, make an offer on that that equipment, and he'll be love to hear from you. Next item comes from Mac, VK6Mike. He has an offer here for you to save some money on your gymnasium fees, etc. He has free to a good home. Anyone who can lift it, it's a Marconi FM signal generator type Tango Fox 1066 Bravo. Free to anyone who can take it home, lift it. Thanks, says Mac. You may contact Mac for this free Marconi signal generator on 0417-977-765. 0417-977-765. And he also has some coaxial cable still available if you would like it, free to good home as well. 30 metres of Nike 10 Delta Fox Bravo fitted with N connectors. Another 30 metre of Heliax coax. And that's all from Mac, VK6MikeMike. His email address, VK6MikeMike@iinet.net.au. Phone number, as I said, 0417-977-765. That too fast for you, sorry. 0417-977-765. That's all for me. If you have anything for next week's broadcast, please contact me by email. VK6XRayVictor is the only contact. VK6XRayVictor@bigpond.com. Cheers, 73.
Next week, News West will be showcasing a bit of amateur radio history. We do try to focus on West Australian history, however, it gets sort of scarce after a while, and our reach extends to other parts of Australia. Our main sources of amateur radio histories have been the historical amateur radio magazines scanned by Will, VK6 Uniform, and the National Library of Australia's Trove website, mostly old newspapers. Something becomes glaringly apparent when trawling through these sources. What's apparent is that there are gaps. There were long periods, for instance, where VK6 notes in the amateur radio magazine were scant and even simply non-existent. I'd hate to see our history lost. What are your memories of how things were in the past? Significant achievements, developments, etc. What stories do you have to contribute? We've had some excellent recollections from Mac, VK6MikeMike, and would like to hear from you. It would be really good to put your recollections or your research discoveries to air. Just send what you find, either text or recording, as email attachments to newswest@vk6.net.
Thanks for listening, and special thanks to all involved in putting our VK6 amateur radio news to air. The studio team this week was Roy, VK6XV, Mike, VK6KMS, Andrew, VK6AS, and Greg, VK6 Lima Hotel, got busy with work, so we gave him time off with half pay today. And I'm Bob, VK6POP, the News West producer. Remember to tune in next week. There's a good story brewing up that I think you'll enjoy. Meanwhile, there's two contests on this weekend, so there's no excuse not to get on air and make some noise.